So Hinduism could not be reformed, but why convert to another religion? Why not become secular humanists? Or, as I say, why not join the Marxist bandwagon? Aren't all religions essentially corrupt and superstitious? Certainly, you could believe that looking at religion in India. First of all, Dr. Ambedkar, it has to be said, was a deeply religious man from a deeply religious family. If you read his writings, you'd think he's quite a strong rationalist, but actually he was a deeply religious man. His father used to regularly recite the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, the two great Hindu classics. Every evening his father would recite these. His father was also a Kabir Panthi. In other words, he was a member of the followers of Kabir, the very unusual figure, kind of Hindu Muslim, kind of non-caste saint. And, you know, a very different strand within Hinduism. So religion had been sort of dinned into him from a young age. So religion was important to him. He was also a very devout man, very devoted man. He also understood religion to be so important for the people of India. I think when you go to India, you see that, you notice how important religion is. First of all, religion, Dr. Ambedkar believed, was concerned with the heart, with the mind. Change the religion, you change the heart, you change the mind. And very important to Ambedkar, even before the conversion to Buddhism, was the centrality of the mind and the importance of the development of the mind. Also, Marxism really didn't hold much attraction to him. He noticed how the Indian Marxists, all of the leaders were Brahmins. In fact, yes, he noticed that all of the leaders were Brahmins, and he actually dismissed them on one occasion in a paper on Buddhism and Karl Marx. He dismissed the Marxist leaders as a bunch of Brahmin boys who didn't actually understand Marx. He said he understood Marx far better than they did. So he didn't take them very seriously. He thought they were rather superficial. But more than that, he believed that religion was essential to holding society together. For there to be a just society, Ambedkar believed, there must be religion. Society, he said, is held together through a combination of religion and law. Law actually plays a minor part in holding society together. That is, law is to discipline or to contain the minority who are prepared to be antisocial, the antisocial minority. Religion, he said, plays a much bigger part. It provides, he said, the moral basis for a just society. Religion provides the basic moral attitudes, the rituals, the customs that bind people together harmoniously. That's what religion is supposed to do, although very often it doesn't. But that, Ambedkar believed, was essentially religion's purpose. So religion is important because it's to do with the mind, the heart, the essence of man, and it's to do with basic morality between people. And, it had to be the right religion. It had to fulfill that function. And it took a long time before Ambedkar decided to convert, 20 years from his first announcement that he would convert, 20 years between that first announcement and the actual conversion. But why Buddhism? Why did Dr. Ambedkar choose Buddhism? From a financial and political point of view, Buddhism would have seemed to have been the weakest choice of all. Other religions offered money, political power. Imagine if all those people had become Muslims, before the partition of India or something like that. Imagine if they'd become Sikhs or Christians. It would have, power-wise, it would have been a good move. But Buddhism institutionally was much, much weaker. It hardly had a presence in India. And in fact, some Buddhists who'd hitched their wagon to caste Hindu movements in India weren't at all keen on Dr. Ambedkar's wish to convert. And there was even a certain amount of hostility from some Buddhists towards Dr. Ambedkar's decision to convert to Buddhism. So why Buddhism? First of all, there's Dr. Ambedkar's personal devotion to the Buddha and Buddhism. That started at a very young age. At the time of matriculation, he was given, as his prize, a life of the Buddha in Marathi. And this must have had a very profound effect upon him. Because throughout his life, in his writings and speeches, long before the conversion to Buddhism, you find him quoting the Buddha. And there's all sorts of references to the Buddha, all sorts of stories from the Buddha's life. And it's clear that the respect and the reverence and the devotion that Dr. Ambedkar had to the Buddha was very strong. Also, Dr. Ambedkar himself developed the kind of ideas that, well, really were rather Buddhistic. You can see a kind of resonance with Buddhism. Long before the conversion to Buddhism, he talked about the centrality of the mind and the importance of transforming the mind. And then again, Dr. Ambedkar believed that Buddhism wasn't really dead in India. It had a kind of hidden spiritual influence. The greatest Hindus had Buddhist-like insights. In Maharashtra, the state Dr. Ambedkar came from, there was the tradition of the great poet saints. The greatest of these was a Shudra named Tukaram, whose works hugely popular and still are hugely popular throughout Maharashtra and among all the Marathi-speaking people. And they're readily quoted. One of the most famous of his is where Tukaram sings of the true saint. And in one translation, it goes like this. He who identifies with the battered and beaten, mark him as a saint. The good man's mind is soft outside and soft inside. Say, it's like butter. He holds every forsaken man close to his heart. He treats a slave as his own son. So, you know, this is a very Buddhistic, it's a very Buddhistic flavour to it. So Buddhism for Dr. Ambedkar was something deeply personal. That's probably the main reason why he converted. But there was more to it than that. Dr. Ambedkar was an idealistic man, and a powerful thinker, an intensely practical man. Buddhism had to express an ideal, and it had to hold together rationally, and it had to work. So we need to look at Dr. Ambedkar's understanding of Buddhism.